Good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 27th. We have been blessed with the arrival of Paul Kraft.
Thank you.
Yes. It's been a while.
It is a blessing to still be here.
Yeah, still make the calendar every month. And then you go and you bring a buddy.
I brought Captain Sean Morris from the office with me.
I'm like stunned and amazed. I mean, both of you guys on the same show.
Yeah,
I guess it doesn't portend well for the rest of the year.
It is difficult to have us both occupy the same space at the same time.
Well, you're not on the same chair, so that's a good thing.
Jeez.
Are you ready for your question?
Yeah.
Now that you're playing Wordle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You caught me exercising my brain.
Sorry. I didn't mean to embarrass you.
It does take work.
All right. Where does battle axe come from? Why do we say battle axe?
I mean,
it
seems pretty straight up that it was a smaller size axe that could be more easily wielded in battle.
You going that with that one, Sean?
It's straightforward.
You kind of look to me like a medieval weaponry specialist.
I have no idea.
By the 11th century, the battle axe was a regular part of the equipment used by British warriors. Often fastened to the wrist by means of a chain, such a weapon was fearful indeed. In 1314, the day before the famous Battle of Brockburn, Robert the Bruce, you guys have heard of him, right?
Yeah.
Felled Sir Henry Bourne with a single blow of his battle axe. The invention of firearms soon made other weapons obsolete, and the battle axe became a favorite among collectors. Specimens are prominently displayed in the Tower of London. Oh, that lovely tourist location. And numerous other museums. A first glance of this brutal and intimidating old weapon almost always evokes awe. As a result, comedians began to compare it with quarrelsome and an irritable person. Since performers were male, the butt of the humor was often female. This usage, biased as it is, leads to many a modern male to mix... Okay, hold on, guys. To mix jest with affection and refer to his wife as... fill in the blank.
Exactly. Fill
in the blank. I still don't get it. I'm not following that one.
Yeah. You read chapter two then, all by yourself. We're not going to put that one on the air. Oh, boy. So what's the occasion of Mr. Sean's appearance with us?
He's available, and he likes to come in and speak.
I see. He just likes to be part of the gang. Yeah.
Well, admittedly, the captain of an area office is pretty busy. Not to say that you're not important. But
I noticed that you're speaking for him, and he's not.
I'm sorry. That's why I usually come. It's hard to shut me up, right?
Yeah. Are there any new rules of the road starting this year? No.
Wait.
Oh, yeah.
He grabbed a pile of paper and turned it over.
To bring up one of the few things that I made notes on because I tried to familiarize myself with what was coming. The new laws for this year were some of them weren't particularly applicable to like everyday driving and normal traffic, but the key was one that we've talked about in the past that actually went into effect July 1st of last year was the points on your record for distracted driving. So the DMV
is
now
you guys are starting to look to stop people who are watching the video on their screen or texting or calling or whatever it might happen to be?
Well, we've always enforced, that law, but I believe now the Department of Motor Vehicles is now placing points on driving records now. So
it's just a formalization process.
Okay. So it just further enhances the penalties for it to hopefully further discourage the use. So if you have a second violation for the same thing within 36 months, then DMV will apply a point to your driving record, which would be similar to a moving violation where if you ran a stop sign, speeding, those violations that put points on your record, if you get too many points, you lose your license.
Now, I would think if the state was really serious about it, with all the technology that's out there, is that on some of the overheads, I think more of the metropolitan areas, right?
Yeah.
They would have some kind of a sensor unit that could tell if somebody was on their cell phone. I mean, it seems pretty straightforward, but I would suspect there'd be a little bit of pushback
from
the people electing those elected officials allowing that to happen.
I think we're gonna leave it to the officer's eyeballs still right now and verify.
So no radar guns, no LIDAR.
No.
Yeah. No.
Not when it comes to cell phones.
Yeah, not for that.
Yeah.
Yet.
It does become pretty obvious when you've got a big brick to the side of their face at times.
But yeah, but when you're, you know, if you're on your Bluetooth, whatever the heck it is, you know, talking as you're driving, is that distracted?
Hands-free.
Yeah.
Has to be hands-free.
Okay. But so it's
Bluetooth earpiece.
Even though you're maybe mentally distracted, you're not physically distracted, and that's so what they're going for.
On that note, I would say there are studies that are coming out now, and you can, some of it's on, I use it when talking to some of the young drivers when we do the Start Smart classes with teen drivers. Studies are showing that distraction is still there and can be just as much. Even though you're driving hands-free, your brain is distracted, and it makes it harder for you to multitask while driving.
It's like having a good conversation with somebody in the car.
Right.
You go blowing past that exit, and you go, ah, crud.
It's similar, but I'll say the studies are showing that it is different. You're taking more brain power because you're creating a mental image of the conversation with the person. This is opposed to you and I sitting in a car next to each other, and I can glance over, I can read your body language. I'm better able to get inflections from you without having to...
All the nonverbals.
When you're talking over a phone and you have a Bluetooth in and that person is not there, your brain by default is trying to create the image of you sitting there having that conversation, and it does take away some of the brain power needed for safely operating a motor vehicle.
So once we start getting avatars on our dashboards, that'll eliminate that. So I've gone to two future seminars in the last week. There's just too much weird stuff that hasn't seeped out yet. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft and his boss, John Morris.
make me sound so intimidating.
Nah. Now, you've been up here, Sean, for almost a year now?
Almost a year and a half.
Year and a half, okay. Impression still the same, or has the fog creeped into you a little bit?
No, it's still a great place. You know, like I said, people are very, very nice. I have a great crew to work with, so and I get along great with, you know, my counterparts at the other agencies that I work with. So it's really a great experience.
What's your biggest surprise? Or unexpected, I guess, maybe. Is there anything that leaps out?
No, not really. Just slower pace, you know, obviously compared to working down in Sacramento and Bay Area, but no, it's great. It's nice up here.
Now watch this. How about for you, Paul?
still stuck here. No, it's great. Yeah. Outstanding.
It's been a wonderful 18 months.
When the wife and kids are happy where you're at and with the way things are, then that means everything's good.
Okay. So what's coming down the road? I have attended a couple of events the last couple of weeks that are talking about artificial intelligence, the application of some of these things that is just absolutely mind-blowing to me. Are there some of those aspects of computer or technology that are starting to kind of wind their way into law enforcement that are making things either easier to do the job or safer or more efficient? You're starting to see some of those signs coming through?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we are constantly looking at ways that we can make our jobs more efficient, you know, and better the work that we do or help us, you know, to do things better. So, you know, obviously computer technology, you know, various things with, yeah, just the programs and things that we work with. So
I would think something like voice recognition for filling out your reports. You know, if somebody could go and have it fill in, would save a ton of time for the officers either to have more time out on the road or doing whatever their primary task is.
Yeah, it's interesting. Perhaps. I don't know that we've looked into that type of technology, but...
Yeah, you know, with technology on phones and computer programs, officers do have access to that type of thing. I do know of two officers over the years that I've met that use that, and I'm not sure what programs, but they would write some reports, especially the standard reports that kind of are more or less the same each time, basic reporting. It makes it a little easier just to read it out, and it generates that Word document, and then you insert it into our report system.
So a cut and paste kind
of. Overall, if you have three guys sitting in a room writing reports from the night, not as effective when it's picking up everybody else's.
Yeah, you'd probably have to figure that one out and go somewhere where they're, you know.
Not
in front of the football game either.
Yeah. Well, the first guy I met doing it, he would sit in his truck and just do it in private like that, and you'd see him sitting out there just talking to himself all the time, and I finally realized after a couple of months what it was he was doing.
Yeah, some of the other technology that we've used to help us out, I know we've tested some of that before, are the automatic ticket writers. So that helps our officers, you know, drastically reduces the amount of time that they're out there on the side of the road.
So you just plug in a couple variables and then it...
Or on the back of the driver's license, it has the magnetic strip, so it has the information downloaded on it. So they can take that, they can run it through, they just put in the code or the violation, if it's a speeding violation, and then it'll, you know, print the ticket out and they can get the signature and then have everyone be on their way.
Yeah, I would think that exposure in some of the more busy areas of the state is pretty significant.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And even in some of these areas where it's, you know, there isn't a lot of vehicular traffic, it could be in at some times more dangerous because the speeds are much greater. So if you're in a, you know, a metropolitan area during, you know, the morning commute, those cars are driving a bit slower. So,
yeah. But yeah. In theory, there's motion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But nonetheless, the exposure time for an officer to be out on the side of the road, we want to reduce that so that, you know, we make sure our folks are safe in doing their jobs. So, you know, the longer you're out there, the tendency for something to happen, you know, is there.
It increases, yeah. Now, a lot of local law enforcement entities will have the body cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Is that something that CHP is
Some of our officers do. Some of our officers carry it. We have mobile video equipment in our patrol vehicles, and so that's what our standard requirement is. Some officers opt to have personally owned body-worn cameras, and so we have policies behind that, ensuring that they adhere to proper storage and of those, you know, the data so that, you know, it's taken over to the district attorney's office.
It doesn't pop up on a Facebook?
No.
Now, are those cameras on the front of the car, you know, through the front windshield, so to speak, or will they follow the officer as they're moving around?
It is positioned in the patrol vehicle, but it's fixed in a certain point, so it's to where the officer is handling the encounter or dealing with the contact.
So it probably has a broad enough
field
that it gets 90% of what's going on.
Yeah, it does. It should capture the event.
And what do you do with that stuff then? Just archive it in case?
Well, Yeah, it's archived, and you know, if there's an encounter, if there's an arrest, if there is some action that's taken by a law enforcement officer, then we can pull that information up, send it to the district attorney's office. We can review it if need be.
Make it easier to
yes.
get the bad guys. It's 8:30.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Captain Morris and Paul Kraft, PIO, wait, PIO, evidence, not tech. Let's
see, he does it all. Paul does it all.
Guy. And investigator.
J-O-A-T. Jack of all trades.
Oh, okay. Oh.
I just came up with that on the spot.
All of all trades.
Yeah. Oh, he's now on cloud nine.
And back to Captain Morris.
Yeah. With Humboldt now being a polytech, with the expansion that's going on, are you anticipating any changes as far as the activity level, the types of activities that you guys are going to be dealing with over the next 5 or 10 years? I mean, obviously, there's going to be more on the road, but is the dynamic or the population profile changing? Mm. Does that do anything for you?
No, I mean, that's a great question, but I don't anticipate that. You know, clearly, we will ensure that we have enough, you know, meet the needs of the public, you know, for calls for service and making sure that we have, you know, appropriate levels of personnel out there to handle those things. But I don't anticipate, you know, an increase, at least in that way.
So a larger student body is just going to be a couple more kids to kind of follow?
Yeah, I mean,
I say what I see.
That goes back to the cell phone texting thing.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm seeing is an increase in student body. That's a larger recruitment pool for us because college-educated students, people coming into this field are highly sought after. So people from all different backgrounds, and if you're coming out, I mean, we do recruit from HSU, and an increased student body obviously gives us a larger pool. I see the advantages from that. And on a personal level, excited about some of the programs that I've seen that will be coming with that, just having kids of my own. And
yeah, polytech is really kind of an interesting little spin, even if the emphasis is in the environmental areas and some of that kind of stuff rather than what the other schools emphasize.
Yeah.
It's still one of three. It's really going to be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
To see. Now, are you guys, when you are talking to either Humboldt or with CR, you know, they've got the academy out at Redwoods, is there more desire for more interaction with the police academy, just either to help them out or, you know, make a speech every once in a while, show up and just watch the kids' eyes open up and eyes drop?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, the last graduation at CR for the academy, I was honored with presenting an award from Lika for the top graduate. So that's the
Lika's involved.
Yes. So I actually, on behalf of Lika, presented an award to the top graduate. So that was a great opportunity for me, and to have a chance to interact with the new graduates and to wish them well on their journey into their new careers. For us, for the Highway Patrol, we have our own academy in West Sacramento. So
that's what I was saying, if there was an opportunity for connection either with the post training or
no, you know, so our training path is different, but Being up here and being, you know, integrated here in the community here, it's a great opportunity for me and for, you know, members of the Humboldt crew up here, CHP, to have an opportunity to interact with the cadets or the trainees there in the academy.
So most of those graduates then are going on to a traditional police department or a municipal police
right.
department, rather than using that and springboarding down to the academy and,
right.
and getting the training inside.
Yeah, so they're either sponsored by a local law enforcement agency or they'll go through the classes on their own. And then they will seek to get hired by either a police department or the sheriff's department here. For us, they would get hired as a cadet and then would enter into training at our academy in West Sacramento. And so that's...
So would a kid coming through that process be more highly desired by the CHP if they had the Academy Plus?
It depends. I mean, that's just extra training. So I guess... We would eliminate that step. So you wouldn't need to, if you were interested in a career with the CHP, you wouldn't need to go to a college or a separate,
We kind of be redundant.
Yeah.
So to
yeah.
speak.
So because we're going to teach you the same things, it's just, we have a live-in academy in West Sacramento. And so all of that training, it would be the same. So it would sort of be double training, but yeah.
What about a criminal justice degree?
Criminal justice degrees.
Boy, did the face light up on that one.
Well,
yeah.
Well
that's a little different.
It is a little different. So, you know, for folks that do, they, you know, go through and get an undergrad in criminal justice or in sociology or in psychology or even in English, or those are the types of things that would help you out as a new officer. There's a ton of writing, understanding, communities and different demographics and different communities, all of those things will help you to better understand people and behaviors and things like that. It'll help you be a better police officer.
So are those, you know, like EPD with the MIST team and some of that kind of stuff, travel along or somebody to help out in situations, are those niches that are available with the CHP, or is that something that
We have some specialized units. Our units, I'm thinking of MERP down in Sacramento. But we have officers that are trained in some of those things, and then they are part of a cadre where they will teach, you know, the officers at the academy, and then for recurrent training later in their career. So
they're not like brought in special situations, kind of like as a SWAT team, so to speak.
No, what we rely on, we partnership with the local agencies. So, for instance, here it would be Humboldt County and the Sheriff's Department.
Everybody pulling in the same direction.
Yeah.
Hi, Paul. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with four airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on AHA, American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Reno, and Las Vegas. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Captain Sean Morris and Paul Kraft. Just to allow Paul to... Hi, Paul. So, guys, is there anything that's the equivalent of like a Harvard Business School for criminal justice or for frontline officers? I mean, I would think that there would be something short of like FBI Academy, which is a... It's in law enforcement, obviously, but it's not, you know, CHP.
Right, right. So that's a great question. So for police managers, executives, they have an opportunity to do the FBI National Academy and some other types of training, continuation training to help them out in their careers. And I think for our officers, you know, obviously there's the academy, there's the basic training that they do. And then there are, you know, throughout the course of their career, there is continuing education, there's continuing training requirements for our officers. So very highly trained, and over the course of, say, a 20, 30-year career, they will continue to receive, you know, updates in the law or various policies and procedures and different things like that that will help them out, you know. So, but that is a great question. I think the progression of, you know, our profession, as I was telling you on the break, is that we're moving toward that. You know, we're moving toward those types of certifications and those things to help keep, you know, our officers highly trained and relevant so that they can, you know, help, you know, serve the community.
Well, and just as things have changed. Now, yeah. What about for the non-sworn positions? You know, I think of like City Hall, and there's an administrative degree, you know, governmental administrative degree. Is there something the equivalent of that, or is it just a regular old business degree and you learn how to talk cop?
I think there's various disciplines. You know, we have quite a few. I think I think we're about 10,000, you know, employees for our department. And so there's a probably 3,000 or more non-sworn personnel within our agency. And so there's a, you know, they have a, we have folks that do contracts and purchasing. We have folks that deal with facilities and maintenance and mechanics and just all types of different things. So we have a wide variety of expertise for our non-sworn personnel.
Are they considered CHP?
They are CHP employees, and we're a big family. So our non-sworn personnel are just as important as our sworn personnel that go out there. As a matter of fact, if it weren't for some of those positions, we would not be able to do our job. So
you mean like auto mechanic?
Oh my goodness. Auto mechanic, our dispatchers, you know, our folks that are working in headquarters for our contracts and purchasing so that we can make sure that we have the equipment that we need so that we can do our job. So just vital, vital role. And
do you have bean counters?
Or actually at the
is that another Paul?
No, at our academy, at the dining facility. So we have cooks, and we have.
So you went to food, not
pun intended, okay. Brian. Pun intended.
So you mean if I spill my jelly bean jar at that desk?
Yeah.
Pun intended.
That could take you all day, couldn't it?
One for me,
yeah.
One for you, two for you.
Well, that, one, two for me. Thinking about, you know, most law enforcement departments have got somebody, the financial side,
yes,
of things, the HR side of things.
Yes.
You know, those the computer techs, the, yes, mechanics, all those types of folks.
Yes.
But when you think of some of the, when I think of Redway, I'm not thinking the same way. It's kind of right. Like an office out in the hills, so to speak, or a right. satellite office.
Right.
So, you know, what we see here locally may not be really well, all the opportunity that exists.
We have an information management division, you know, back at headquarters and an information technology section. And so you talked about technology earlier, and those folks are behind the scenes with the latest and greatest in technology to ensure that, you know, the transfer of data. We talked about, you know, video recordings in our patrol vehicles, you know, so the cameras and the digital recording. So all of that stuff has to be downloaded or uploaded into the cloud and stored in different places, and us to be able to pull that information at a moment's notice so that we can either get it to the district attorney's office or get it to where it needs to go. So we have a whole just division of folks that work tirelessly to ensure that those things are happening. So
do you ever wonder what if the AMP comes through, computers go down, the internet, you know, we get a windstorm or an earthquake, and now all of a sudden it's back to what was?
Yeah.
Do you guys ever role play those or tabletop those kind of scenarios just to, you know, so the guys aren't totally lost when that does happen down the road?
Yeah, it does.
You say when that happens?
When it happens down the road.
You know it always
when it happens, yeah. Well, I mean, we have pencils and pens. We can handwrite our reports. So
that's just it. There's our profession and what we do is based on a foundation of providing, you know, safety and service to the people out there. And those are words that we could use loosely. But in the reality is, if everything went down, all the computers shut down, people are still going to be trying to get from point A to B, and it's going to be chaos. And we're going to be there to help manage that, help get through that. We may not have computers. Our radios may not even be able to work. We're going to figure out a way to share information with each other. But each individual officer, I believe, would be very handy at being able to go out and take care of their area, their beat. And I think we'll get through that.
You guys have gas on site?
And we get to erase all our points on our driving record.
Yeah, we do.
You
we
do have, yes. Yeah, we do. I mean, that was one of the surprises, I think, from Loma Prieta was, whoops.
Yeah.
You know, the gas pumps don't work.
We can start all that over again. The main thing would be saving life and preserving that. So.
Getting out and we'll be able to do the basics.
Doing the basics.
Yeah. Yeah. And that involves a flare. I've seen you. It involves a flare. Thanks for coming by. Nice to see you again, Sean.
It's good to see you, too.
Thanks, Brian.
See you right tomorrow.